Hello everybody, I am Lucia Matuonto and welcome to the Relatable Voice podcast, a talk show where my guests and I talk about relatable everyday situations, books, and the environment we live in. Remember to subscribe and follow the podcast on social media so you can be notified when a new episode is available. Let's begin. Today, we are honored to have Dr. Catherine Hutchinson Hayes joining us from Jacksonville, Florida. Catherine is a dynamic individual. She's a writer, editor, speaker, podcaster, and educational consultant. Mm-hmm. Plus, she graces the cover of the Relatable Voice February issue, coinciding with the release of her latest book, A Fifth of the Story, this month. So, yeah. My dear Catherine, welcome to the RV.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I love the RV moving in the background. That's super fun.
Yes, I'm driving to Jacksonville.
Yeah, I like that. Yes, it's an honor and a privilege to be here. It's been wonderful working with you guys regarding the magazine and now the podcast. I'm just really fortunate to be here.
Thank you. Likewise, Catherine. Likewise. Your background is quite fascinating. You were born in Britain with Jamaican and Portuguese roots and raised in New York. Is that correct?
Yes.
Can you share a bit about the rich cultural environment that shaped your upbringing?
Yeah. Yeah, so, born in England, came over young, but still old enough to remember it, and left lots of family there and friends that my parents had made. But ironically, even though both of my parents were born in Jamaica, they didn't meet until they got to England, and they both went to England to go to school. And I was telling you before that my mom's family actually ended up in Jamaica fleeing persecution. They were Jewish. They were Portuguese Jews and ended up in Jamaica. And then here it is. My mother ends up in England to study to be a midwife. And then my dad, he was in England. He was studying how to, he was studying carpentry, and he had a lot of different jobs. When my mom met him, he was a conductor on a bus, he was a barber, and he was also making furniture, which is typical for Jamaicans. They like to have more than one job. Yeah, but I grew up in New York, like you said, which is very rich culturally, lots of people from all over, and that was a rich, wonderful experience to experience that. It was also interesting to experience being an immigrant and to have parents that were mixed race, and just to feel what that was like. So a lot of times when people see you, and maybe you've experienced that too, they just think of you as one thing, but there's so many layers. As mom has Portuguese roots, and then my dad is Scottish and African root. So lots of layers. I never feel uncomfortable in any setting because there's always people that I can identify with. I have family who have blonde hair and blue eyes, who are dark skin with coarse hair. It doesn't matter to me. I feel comfortable around all people.
I love it. I have the same feeling. Sometimes people say, I wouldn't live abroad because I would feel that I'm different. I said, wow, I love the fact that I am different and I meet with a lot of different people and I blend with everybody without any problem. And
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And Catherine, I noticed you worked as a principal before venturing into the world of writing.
Right.
So what prompted this significant career shift?
That you're right. That is really a significant career shift, and I doubted myself for many years, but it all happened after I had my last child. That was 16 years ago, and I got really sick, and I wasn't expected to survive. So I had a near-death experience. Something that happens. I'm not meaning to scare anyone who wants to have children who may be pregnant, but it's something that can happen to anyone. I had an aneurysm and I didn't know it. And apparently it's something that people who are really healthy, so basically there's not a lot we can do to prevent things like that, right? So I had a brain hemorrhage when I had my last child and I wasn't expected to live. And thankfully I recovered and my job was so good to me. They held my position open longer than I think in the history of that district. And I thought I was going to go back to work, but my husband was an army officer at the time and he got a move. So we were moving. And so I had to give up that job. And then we found out that he would be traveling a lot. And we had a house full of children at that time. And so my husband said, "Why don't you take a sabbatical from education? Why don't you try chasing your dream?" He knew I loved writing. I had always been writing some kind of book on the side, never did anything with it. I was always a columnist for magazines, even as a principal. And I wrote for academia, boring stuff that nobody would really care about now. And he set up a little office for me when we moved on base in the laundry room. I shared it with the cat litter boxes in the laundry room. So that was me. That was my office. And that's where it started. And each year I began to write more and more. I started doing what I knew. I wrote curriculum. I partnered with churches to write curriculum for their children's programs or women's programs. So I did what I knew, and then I started to branch off. And I wrote my first book, which was called God's Little Black Dress for Women: How to Put on the Full Armor of God Without Losing Your Femininity. It was a Bible study, and that was in 2016. That was a whole learning curve. And from there, I got more and more into the publishing industry. I began writing for a number of publications. Currently, I write for about seven different publications. And I freelance as an editor. I write for, and not just write for them, but I'm a book coach and I'm an editor for a couple of different publishing houses. And so that morphed into my second book, which came out December of 2023. It was a collaboration with other authors. It was a book of devotionals. It was called Focus, 45 Devotionals to Keep Jesus in the Picture. And then most recently, or coming soon, I don't know when this will air, but my debut thriller comes out February 27th. And the second book is already finished, but it won't come out until 2025, and I'm working now on the next books in the series.
That's amazing. So, first, it was a blessing, a true blessing that you survived without disabilities.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly.
I worked for many years with neurological patients. I'm a physical therapist as well. Yeah, and I know how difficult it is to survive without issues after having an aneurysm. I can say that it changed your life completely and you found your mission. Can I say that?
That's exactly right. I worked with a physical therapist when I got out. You're right. People with their traumatic brain injuries, when you have a brain hemorrhage, it damages your brain, and some people never recover fully. In fact, at the time of my injury, when I did the research, 70% of people have major issues, and quite a few people die. So there's a marginal percentage of people who survive and recover fully. And so I was very fortunate. When I first came out of the hospital, I had my vision was messed up. I couldn't my yeah I could my I would see partially. I would have blacked out vision. I had balance issues, so I had to work with the physical therapist to learn how to walk properly again, how to go up and down stairs. I was in intensive care so long, I didn't realize how weak my body was. That was horrible because I was a fit person. And I had to work with a speech pathologist. I had issues with my short-term memory. And so it is miraculous that I recovered as well as I did. And I'm so thankful to the medical professionals that I worked with. Thank you to the physical therapist and the occupational therapist and the speech pathologist. It was amazing. And my neurologist, who I still have to see one, but thank goodness for the advances in medicine and the wonderful people in the healthcare system. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. So, Catherine, you started talking about this new book that's going to be published on February 27th.
Yeah.
So, a fifth of this story, could you give us a glimpse into what readers can expect from this thrilling tale?
Yeah. And as an aside, if anyone is an aspiring author or is discouraged, let me just help you. A fifth of the story is probably, it's probably like my fifth rewrite. The last one, the last book of 90,000 words, I had to toss it out. And the title stayed the same, the message stayed the same, but the story completely changed. So don't be discouraged if that happens to you. So a fifth of the story, the premise is when anything happens, there's your side, there's my side, there's what other people see, they're the facts, and then there's what God sees. And it's what he thinks about, what he sees and what he thinks about that fifth of your life. And the premise is if you live for that one fifth, you will live a good life, a life that's meaningful. So taking all of that to say, it's then a shoot 'em up bang bang kind of a book. I'm not a chick flick kind of a girl. It's very real to life. There's lots of action. There's lots of violence, not just for violence sake, but it's true to the premise of the story. It's true to what the characters in the story do. And I have an in-house expert. So my husband was an officer in the intelligence branch of the army. And so he worked for what is the DIA, which is in layman's terms would be the CIA of the military. So I was able to take lots of declassified information and fictionalize it and change place and time. So it's a work of fiction, but a lot of it, they're based on real incidents that happened and were fictionalized.
I could see that you explore the world of espionage and intelligence. And
Yeah.
for sure, it's not for me, wouldn't be an easy feat.
Yeah.
What inspired you to write this book? Was your husband?
So it was my mentor. My mentor is a guy called Cecil Murphy. He's retired from actually writing now, and he does lots of mentoring. And I'm really fortunate to have him. He's written a vast number of books, probably close to 200 books, and he's known for ghost writing. He took me under his wing. So did a wonderful woman called Edwina Perkins, and she's actually now part of the publishing house that I am working with. So things just come full circle. They believed in me. They believed that I had a story to tell. They believed I was a good writer, even when I didn't. And Cece is the one who encouraged me to use my husband's background to tell the story I wanted to tell. And he was right. I mean, he and I, when I say he and I, he was my mentor. So every week I'm sending him chapters and he would give me feedback. And I was writing a book on the fly. I'd never done that before. Before I was a plotter, I'd write everything out, I'd plan it. and I became a pantser. I started with the seed of an idea and I just took off.
Actually, I'm laughing because I am a pantser.
Oh,
I
you, oh, okay.
completely, I never know what's going on in the book, but it's interesting. And considering the book's high level of suspense, how do you sustain the attention in this story?
First, I got to know my characters intimately. So I knew a lot about my characters. I built backgrounds for them. I mean, when I first started out, I created this whole poster. I had pictures of who was who, how people were intertwined, and then I had all kinds of information about them. So it helped me to write intuitively about how they were going to react to a situation. And what I would do was I would paint my characters into impossible situations until I didn't know how they were going to get out. So a lot of chapters I would end, I'm like, I really don't know how they're going to get out of this situation. I mean, first I got to know my characters intimately. So I knew a lot about my characters. I built backgrounds for them. I mean, when I first started out, I created this whole poster. I had pictures of who was who, how people were intertwined, and then I had all kinds of information about them. So it helped me to write intuitively about how they were going to react to a situation. And what I would do was I would paint my characters into impossible situations until I didn't know how they were going to get out. So a lot of chapters I would end, I'm like, I really don't know how they're going to get out of this situation. I mean, they're at a dead end. And I'd be dreaming about it, and I couldn't wait to get back to my computer to figure out how to get my character out of this mess. But I made things really tough for my protagonist. I felt bad for him at some points, and even some characters I really liked, I made things really bad for him. And they figured it
Yeah, I think his name is Brooke.
Yes, Brock O'Reilly.
Is he inspired by real people or purely fictional, or maybe a combination of both?
That's such a good question. My main characters are all combinations of fictionalized and real people, but they all have nuggets of real people in there. My husband's in there. My brother, bless his heart, he while I was writing this book, he died suddenly. He's in there. I have some good friends who worked with my husband. They're in there. If they read it, they'll see themselves. There's even a pastor in our church. He's in there. He's not a pastor in this. When they read it, they'll see themselves.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Actually, I'm writing a book and the characters are all based on people I know, but of course I changed their names and some gestures, you know. But
Oh,
I'm sure when they read the book, they will recognize themselves there.
yes, absolutely. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. So, Catherine, every writer faces challenges during the creative process. Can you recall any particularly daunting hurdles you encountered while working on your books, such as writer's block?
I'm grateful that I don't usually struggle with writer's block. I struggle more with writer's doubt. I would doubt myself. And so there were a couple of times where I had this urge. I felt like I would have I arrived if I got an agent. And I did get an agent. And in fact, how it happened, the agent approached me and I had an agent, and then I lost my agent, not because anything bad, but she actually went back to her former profession in the medical field. So I struggled with doubt, feeling, am I an imposter? Especially because I had a career as a principal and I thought maybe I'm really not cut out for this. I should go back to the principalship. There were several times I came this close to taking a job in my old profession and just throwing in the towel and just feeling like I was not going to make it. I was not good enough. And so I struggled with writer's doubt. That's what I did. And I'm really grateful for my mentor. There were even editors that I'd worked with. And he would take a look at it and he said, no, they're changing your voice. That's not you. You are talented and don't believe what when people try to fix you. Just believe that you have that talent. You have a unique voice. That's not the editor for you. And I'm really grateful for people like that in my life.
And Catherine, what advice would you offer for those embarking on this path who want to become an author?
So if it's your dream, take it seriously. So I shared that I published this book in 2016 and I call it a work, I worked backward. It's not that it was a terrible book. It's just that I did everything wrong. I had no book launch. I had no real experience. I was coming out of academia, and I actually met an agent who was very interested in that book and then later on sent me a two-page email telling me why he was not going to pick me up. And I used that letter as a blueprint of what to do and what not to do. And it had to do with platform. I had not done the hard work of building my author platform. And so from there, I continued to strengthen my knowledge base by attending conferences. My first writers conference of that caliber was it was Blue Ridge Christian Writers Mountain Conference, and I've gone to that conference every year since then, and I've picked up other conferences. So I would say increase your knowledge base, network with other writers. In fact, when I went to that writing conference, I found out about Word Weavers International, which is a renowned critique group. Before I left the conference, I joined an online and an in-person group, which I still belong to. And in fact, I took over the online group. I'm now a president of that group, and now I mentor other presidents. So it just became a time of learning, networking, and also mentoring other people. So being mentored, mentoring other people, giving back, and also making sure that you constantly sharpen your craft. So I'm always right. If I'm not working on my own work, I'm working on somebody else's book. I'm editing their book. And editing helps me to be a better writer. It really does. So all of those things. Get education. Go to conferences. You can even find conferences that are very cheap. They're online, especially since COVID. So many conferences now add an online piece. You need to network with people. It's so easy to do that now with all the social media platforms that we have available to us: Threads, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, well, X, formerly known as Twitter. And it goes on and on. And then make sure that you go to a critique group. I highly recommend that. I highly re recommend getting a mentor, either a paid or free mentor, be mentored. And then once you get some knowledge under your belt, help other writers. Don't just keep it to yourself. Don't hoard it. Be generous with all your knowledge. And help other writers and just consistently write. Don't neglect your gift. You must sharpen it to stay sharp.
Thank you, Catherine, so much for sharing your tips. They are great tips. Actually, I need a mentor.
Yeah, we all do, right? Yeah. And have fun with it. Oh my gosh. The writing world, we're such fun people. Have a ball.
And
Yeah.
what's next on the horizon for you, Catherine.
Yeah. Well, I'm upping my speaking game. I really love speaking, and I learned to love it when I became a principal. I had to give a lot of speeches. And when you have to figure out how to keep a kindergartner's attention, okay, you learn how to keep people's attention. You keep it basic and to the point. Adults are not that much different from our kindergartners, believe it or not. Coming from being a really shy person who did not like to speak in front of people, I realized that I did not want to be held back by not being able to share what I had. I want to share, like I said earlier, be generous in sharing your knowledge. So that angst to want to share, to want to give back, helps to strip away being nervous or anxious. And then practicing, I speak as much as I possibly can, and so I'm upping my speaking game. I am getting ready to up my game in my podcasting life. I run a podcast and going into the third year of production, and I am plugging away at the next books in the series. I'm planning 5 books, a fifth of the story. So I have 5 parts to the book. So I'm finished with the sequel I said, and I'm working on the third and fourth book.
I don't know how you have time to do so many things and you still have kids.
Yeah, I have kids, and I love the mission field. I teach art virtually to students in Guatemala. But I find that being busy is where I'm happy. I'm happy feeling useful, and busy is my sweet spot. So it's not a burden to me, it's what I enjoy.
Thank you. And to all our listeners, we kindly invite you to visit www.relatable-media.com and grab a free copy of our magazine. There, you will discover additional details about Dr. Catherine alongside other incredible interviews and articles. And last, Catherine, thank you very, very much for being part of this community. Our doors are always open for you.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yes, it's been a wonderful experience. And thank you so much for having a place like this for authors like me to share. It's wonderful. I appreciate you.
It's my pleasure. And thank you for tuning in. See you next time. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe so you'll be notified when the next one is posted. Please rate this podcast and share it with your friends. Thank you for listening, and remember, relationships don't exist. Relating does. Until next time.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.